Anytime kicks your ass, they move at like a freak train, like a bat out of hell. I'm trying to think of other fast analogies. You know, there's really nothing like it, and I wouldn't trade my experience in daytime for anything. Like, it's I think really makes you learn yourself as an actor, how to work. I mean, how to just be a serviceable actor and make really quick choices, impulsive choices, and how to work quickly. And it was great, but I you know, I have a lot of aspirations beyond daytime, and that's why I decided to leave.
Tormented genius Nick Fallon was shot through the heart on NBC's Days of Our Lives, and now everyone wants to know who's to blame. We might not find the answer to that question out on this podcast, but we will get to the bottom of what's up next for the talented Mr. Blake Barris. Blake, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Welcome.
Well, first thing that I have to ask, is Nick Fallon dead this time? Because, you know, you pulled the fake out on us before.
Yes. As far as I know, I'd say, and Nick Fallon is dead.
He's dead. Oh, I'm pouring out one for the homies then.
Yeah.
Blake, yeah. You returned to Days for a year-long stint. What made you extend your run?
Yeah, it's a good question. I was having a lot of fun with the character. I was really, really happy with the way that they wrote it. I thought the writers just wrote the hell out of it. And I just didn't really feel like the story was done. There was something, I was having a great time, like, you know, both on set from like I love the cast. I love the cast that was over there at the time. And I love the way they're writing the character. And I decided I wasn't quite done. They wanted me to stay for a while longer, and I wasn't, you know, I didn't want to do that, but I felt like I could, I had definitely had another 6 months in me.
Now, you talk about liking this, you know, the cast and, you know, being on set. You were there for quite the creative renaissance for Days of Our Lives. You know, last year they won the Daytime Emmy after decades of not winning it. And, yeah, you know, how would you contrast, because you were there, you know, of course, 3 years earlier, what would you say is different about the energy this time around than the time
before? Yeah, I mean, my experience was so different this time around. And a large part of that was the administration, and I think a large part of it was my own attitude. I think, like, the show was just in way better shape. I love Lisa as an executive producer. I think she just is doing wonders for the show. I think Gary was, you know, the writing's a lot more realistic. It's not as loony. And I think also particularly with the character, the way they were writing Nick, it appealed to me a lot more. Like I was a lot more interested in Nick the first time around, kind of toward the end when he went crazy. I just have kind of always had an interest in playing, darker characters and characters that are a little more challenging to understand. And that was definitely where the emphasis was this time around. And I just thought that they wrote such an interesting, complicated, you never know what to expect from him kind of character.
Now, Nick was involved in several topical front burner storylines during this stint, from gay bashing Will and Sonny to the revelation that he'd been raped in prison to trying to rape Gabby and almost being drowned to death. What was your technique for keeping the character's motivation and sort of the through line so sharply focused through all of that?
Oh, thank you for saying that. That's the kind of the deal when you're on a television show, any television show is you might even have like a broad idea of where your character is going, but, you know, you have to just roll with the punches and you find out things that you have to integrate into what you've already done kind of on the fly. And, you know, it's a challenge. But I mean, first of all, like there was dots I felt like I could connect. I really think that at the end of the day, it really remained consistent that however delusional he was being, in the way that he was pursuing what he wanted really, stayed pretty consistent, which was, I think, to create a normal, stable life for himself. And I think that he saw that he thought that was going to be with Gabby and Ariana ultimately. And his means may have been, you know, compromised and deranged, but that his desire remained pretty consistent.
We kind of saw that a little bit as the character wrapped this particular arc with Julie. It kind of all came back to the beginning of this damaged kid who just wanted to be accepted and wanted to be loved. What was it like playing those scenes out with Susan Seaforth Hayes?
It was super cool. I had never really gotten an opportunity to get to know her. And, she's a really interesting lady and, you know, she's, kind of a daytime legend. You know, you can feel that when you're working
she
with somebody.
She was the Nick Fallon 40 years ago on the show.
That's what she kind of told me. And that's what I thought was really cool about having her kind of send me off, so to speak. And having us connect the way that we did, at the end of Nick Fallon's life. I thought it was really cool. And, she, you know, just even off the set was sharing incredible stories with me, both about the show and about her personal life. And we really, had the opportunity to connect and relate to each other. And I was excited to bring that connection to the scenes.
There was some fan backlash during the gay bashing storyline arc. Did it ever unnerve you, to see fans tweeting mean things to you as if you were the character you played on TV?
I never really put too much stock into it. I mean, I think that it's still, you know, I guess, you know, surprisingly to me, a sensitive issue for a lot of people. And I think it touches a nerve for a lot of the country. I mean, it's something that I you know, feel like is a pretty clear-cut issue that, you know, gay people should, like, have all the same rights that straight people do. You know, I think that it's sensitive for a lot of people, and I think that's why I was excited to take part in the storyline, because, I don't know, I'm kind of always interested in I don't know, sensitive issues and exploring the gray area of life. But I think that it challenged people, and I think that's really good. And I think that, you know, in a lot of ways, the daytime audience is super cool and progressive, and other aspects of the demographic are, you know, maybe a little behind. And I think that, you know, for some people, it touched a nerve, and I think that, you know, hopefully that storyline did its part in making people address the issue a little bit more. And even though, you know, my character was kind of on the wrong side of the coin, you know, I think that I was happy to bring, like, what I hoped was a complex and honest, you know, portrayal of that side of it, and not one that, you know, was totally one-sided. And I thought that, you know, it might have been a little reductionist to say that, you know, because he was raped in prison, he was homophobic. Like, I think it's probably a little more complicated than that. But at the same time, I did think that it lent a super fascinating reason for his homophobia, and I thought that was interesting.
You know, in the 70s, speaking of, since we were talking about Susan Seaforth Hayes' run as Day's scheme queen, the writers of the soaps in the 70s used to address topical issues a lot by having one person be the dove and one character be the hawk, which kind of is what Nick was in the gay bashing story, you know, because you're right. I mean, there is a segment of this country that feels like Nick Fallon felt about, you know, two gay men being together, and they were, you know, it wasn't the root was being raped in prison, but I guess that was where soaps have to be a little soapy. But Blake, the last time we spoke, you were promoting two buzzy indie flicks, House of Last Things and Meth Head. And a quick look now at your IMDb profile has you already completing two additional shorts, Prickly Rose and La Cucaracha, and being in post-production for Broadway Lofts and Minko. Did your desire to do more film play a part in your decision to leave Days?
Yeah, it did. I you know, daytime kicks your ass if they move at like a freight train, like a bat out of hell. I'm trying to think of other fast analogies. You know, there's really nothing like it, and I wouldn't trade my experience in daytime for anything. Like, it's I think really makes you learn yourself as an actor, how to work. I mean, how to just be a serviceable actor and make really quick choices, impulsive choices, and how to work quickly, and it was great. But I you know, I have a lot of aspirations beyond daytime, and that's why I decided to leave.
Okay.
I want to go back to the character of Nick Fallon for a bit. While Nick became a tad disturbed at the end of your first run, he's been one of Salem's central antagonists this time around. Mm-hmm. What was it like striking fear into the hearts of so many Salem citizens?
You know, I don't know. I feel like it's funny. I feel like there's so much. Every character in Salem really has a lot of baggage, and I think it's funny that. That Nick gets such a bad rap, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I feel like everybody's pretty compromised in a way. And, you know, I don't know. He just kind of, the way, you know, it's all, I guess, like, you know, the orientation. And this time around, you know, he was pitted against people who you know, are seen as super sympathetic. You know what I mean? Like, if Gabby was the only person that Nick had been manipulating, I don't think he would have been seen as diabolical. Like, I think because he was pitted against Sonny and Will, especially Will, who's, you know, I don't know, such an innocent and, you know what I mean? Like, such a kind of, I think, partly like they want, because they are the first gay characters in Salem, like they really want to keep them from I feel like there's a lot of responsibility that they feel to make sure that they're not misrepresenting the whole community or something. So they're really, you know, like they're good people. And Nick was, you know, in opposition to them. And I think that it kind of went, it goes back to that sensitive subject thing. And I think that, there's that kind of knee-jerk reaction. I mean, he was also did some really messed up things, but
it also doesn't hurt that he went toe-to-toe with Sammy either.
Right, totally.
And
but I loved it. I always think it's more fun to play the I don't know, the more complicated people.
Oh, you got the best one-liners. I mean, because, you know, I mean, when you call Will the golden boy, and with Abigail, I mean, I really love that, because they really, aside from, you know, I guess a regime ago where they kind of had Abigail flirting with Carrie Brady's husband, she's always basically been Jennifer Light, you know, just coming up in the Horton heroin ranks. And you know, for Nick to just call her on her hypocrisy that day and let her know that she was nothing more than E.J. DeMera's whore. I mean, you really just got to say a lot of the things, especially probably that the E. Jammy fans were screaming. You know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But speaking of some of the people you've played with, you literally have been up against some of the biggest villains in Days history in this year and a half run. I mean, from Kate Roberts, played by Lauren Coslow.
I know, he got around, didn't he? Yeah,
I mean, and it was great, because there's always been this thing with Days, or, well, actually with most of the soaps, there's always this big bad who is not to be touched. you know, and EJ and Sammy pretty much inherited that from Stefano. And Nick never showed an ounce of fear of the Demera power at all. And that was so refreshing, and to see someone not, you know, cowering to the Demera
power. Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. I agree. It was refreshing.
So what was it, did you ever have a moment of, because you probably didn't watch many soaps before you joined one, but were you ever intimidated in those scenes where Nick had to screw with the heads of so many heavyweights?
Well, you know, I think what's often cool about these type of scenes on any type of show or movie is that, like, I mean, in the particular circumstance that I was in, you know, Ali and James are, you know, kind of more or less the head honchos there. Like, they're like very high on the totem pole over there. I mean, you have your your veterans who are older than them who carry that kind of gravitas as well. But in a lot of ways, I feel like the show kind of is oriented around them, and so there is this kind of. I mean, even when you do scenes with them. And you go into their dressing room, you're kind of on their turf, and there's this kind of like sense that, you know, you're talking to the establishment. And so you can use that in those scenes. And it was fun for me to be able to kind of say to confront that establishment and basically say, I don't give I'm trying not to swear. I don't care about the fact that you're the establishment and that this is the history and that everybody kowtows to you. You know, I'm more powerful than you, and I'm not intimidated. And, you know, it's fun because you have to kind of like, find that part of yourself, you know, the part of Blake that isn't afraid of Ali or James, you know, that says, I don't care that you're the leader of the show. And you know what I mean? Like, I love the hell out of both of them, and I loved acting with them. But, you know, it's fun to kind of use the circumstances that already exist in your life in the scenes that you're doing.
Speaking of Allison Sweeney and James Scott, they're leaving the soap opera, too. Camilla, right. who played your leading lady, Gabby, also split. Is this a mass exodus from Salem, or is it all just a coincidence?
I don't know. I mean, I certainly, my decision had nothing to do with anybody else's. I guess they're all, I don't know. I think I left and all of a sudden everybody just couldn't go on without me.
I love it. I love it. Great answer. Now, Blake, I was recently interviewed for a documentary some of your pals are doing about soaps. What can you tell us about that project?
Oh yeah, a good friend of mine and an incredible filmmaker, Danny Abel. I went to UCLA with him, which is how we know each other. Is doing a documentary on soap fans and soap actors, and I think it's starting to kind of center more around Brian DiTillo because he just really, really likes Brian and thinks he has kind of an incredible story to tell. And I've just kind of been trying to facilitate the process as much as I can by you know, creating the connections that they need in order to tell the story.
Sweet. Yeah, that's what they asked me about, the history of Lucas Horton. And I had had like 3 cocktails and I had to basically give 20 years of soap history. So we're hoping I didn't confuse him with Austin or anybody. So yeah, that was fun though.
I love it. I love it. That's great.
You also co-wrote the film The Shining City. Tell us a little bit about how that came about.
That's a project that I've been working on for a while, and we're really lucky that we just kind of found a group of producers that are interested in producing it, and we have some funding now, and we have an incredible casting director attached, and we're about to start making offers to actors on that. I'm going to play a part in it. The brilliant actor Brad Dourif, who is Oscar nominated for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and he was one of the leads of Deadwood, and he's in Lord of the Rings. Brilliant actor. We just attached him, and we're about to make our offers to the lead characters in the next few months over the summer, and are hoping to shoot it at the beginning of next year. So I'm really excited. It's definitely a different hat to wear. It's a totally different way of working, you know, because I'm helping to produce it as well. And I don't know, just talking to the investors and working on that side of things has been really educational and difficult and fun and exciting. It's exciting that something that I wrote is coming to life finally.
Fantastic.
So now, do you prefer the writing and producing process now that you've gotten a little taste of it to acting, or do you think you'll always do both, or will you be a Jodie Foster that goes, you know, and kind
of
leaves
it behind?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm definitely interested. I love storytelling, and I think there's lots of ways to tell a story, and there's different, you know, it's been fun to explore other muscles, you know, in the way that I tell stories. And writing has always been something that I've done. It's started to occupy a bigger part of my life. I just got hired to co-write a Lifetime movie.
Oh, nice.
Which kind of was an interesting turn of events. And I have another project that I just finished with the same writing partner of This Shining City. And, you know, I hope that I get to do all of it. I love it all.
Nice. Now, I have to ask you, because a lot of big name stars have been leaving soaps lately and jumping from soap to soap. So do you see yourself ever doing another daytime soap opera other than Days?
It's certainly not on my agenda. I never say never to anything, you know. I don't rule anything totally out of the picture, but it's certainly not what I'm actively seeking at the moment.
Okay, because yeah. I know they, well, I, especially given your last story arc and all those hot promos, and I'm like, okay.
General Hospital.
GH and B&B and the rest of them are going to be knock, knock, knocking at your door.
Hey, who knows? You know, who knows? I remain open to all possibilities.
Awesome. Well, we remain open to having you back on this podcast anytime, my friend. Keep us abreast of everything you've got going on, you know, as The Shining City comes to fruition and whatever else you've got going. You always have a home here at Daytime Confidential.
Awesome. We're just about to have a premiere of a film that I did last year called Crazy Bitches, which is from the director of Meth Head. It's
Sweet.
Kind of a fun comedy horror film that's I think everyone's going to really like. And anyway, we're about to announce our premiere really soon, and I can't say what it is, but it's good, and it's going to be this summer.
All right, cool.
That's awesome.
Well, we will definitely post it on the blog, and thank you so much for being here with us, and Godspeed with your incredible career. We already know big things.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, guys. It's great talking to you.
You too. Thank you. Take care.